The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Yeah!
Travel World. AM 600.
Let's do it.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Travel World. You're here with Willem Backus, Stephen Pickford, and the hands of Chad behind the console.
Good morning.
Steve, March, eh?
Yeah, March, still starting to snow out there, and 2 weeks to go till we head down to Palm Beach, Florida.
Spring is around the corner. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, springtime and a varied selection of destinations that we're profiling today. Right now we have Melanie Reffes on the line, and she's back from Mont Tremblant, which is now turned itself into a all-year-round destination, not just skiing up there. Not just skiing, what you do at this time of year, but they've made it into something to do up there all four seasons. Good morning, Melanie.
How are you guys?
Doing well.
Willem, did I ever tell you how much I love the music beds you put right before me all the time?
Several times.
Yes, several times. So you guys had some fun in the sun a couple of weeks ago down there in Arizona, Mississippi.
Oh, yes, always fun in the sun.
And you'll have some more in a couple of weeks.
Yes, and you had fun in the snow.
Actually, I had fun in the sun up in Tremblant. It was very warm last weekend up there, I must say. It was almost eerie and very, very pleasant. And you're quite right, it's a resort all year round, regardless of the weather. They have made quite a winter wonderland now out of it. And as somebody told me waiting in line to get into a restaurant, it's really the jewel of the Laurentians. It's a charming little village, sort of Alps-like, right in our own backyard, basically.
Right.
I mean, I'm that guy yelling Ricola.
Actually, you need it. Yeah, you need it. It's got that strong wind up there. It's 125 k's from Montreal, straight up Highway 15. Really well-marked signs. Takes about an hour and a half, something like that. Really easy to get up to.
Well, compared to the first time I went up to the Tremblant area, which was around 20 years ago, it's just totally different what they've done to the whole development over the past 3 to 5 years.
It's quite something. In fact, the real jewel of the area is the Chateau Mont Tremblant, which is, of course, a CP hotel. And this month, last month, February, marked just 2 years that it's been open. So they sunk about $57 million into that resort to build it. And it is really, really quite magnificent. Views of the mountain, an outdoor pool if you can stand it, all kinds of restaurants in there, service unbelievably. Actually, I wanted to tell you guys too, just as a nice kudos for the CP Hotel, the current issue of Travel and Leisure magazine, which of course is a tool of the trade for what all of us are in, has just named the Chateau Frontenac one of the best hotels in the world, which is of course the CP Hotel in Quebec City. The other ones are like the Oriental in Bangkok and the Disney Resort in Orlando. So good for the CP chain. They're really quite up there on the world scale. And the one in Tremblant is simply magnificent. It's got a fireplace in the lobby, a lot of charm and ambiance and anything you can imagine. Right located, of course, at the base of the highest peak in the Laurentians. So if skiing is your thing, you literally roll out of your room, get a great breakfast downstairs, and you're right at the base of the mountain.
You don't have to go too far to find any of those recreational facilities. Also, you're well within easy walking distance of all those shops and restaurants that they've now developed, that whole town concept that you mentioned.
Yeah, you could basically walk in your sleep. It's all so close. I mean, when you get out of the hotel front lobby, the skiing is right there. The downhill skiing is right there. And then right in front of you is the village. And you walk down, it's, you know, a slight hill with stairs, but certainly nothing too difficult to do, of course. And it's loaded in restaurants and bars, and music is piped out of everywhere, and there's shopping galore, all kinds of stores. And everyone's in a good mood, and it's fun, and there's skis all over the place. It's really fun. At the base of it, which takes about 10 minutes to walk, is the cross-country rental chalet. And there's that's the skiing that I did, if you can believe it. I think I fell about 12 times in 14 minutes. But the trails are very beautiful and quiet and very well-maintained, and the staff will answer any ridiculous question you have, of which I had many, because I had never been on downhill skis. On cross-country, rather. So if the downhill scares you, you can just walk down the hill and do the cross-country country, and you feel like you had a bit of a workout, and then you got about 400 restaurants to choose from. So it's a great weekend away.
The cross-country trails, how severe are they, or how, you know, some cross-country trails you go and you hit a big gully and it's almost like going downhill skiing. Are they really tame, or are they different variations?
Actually, you're right, because I had never been on them before. I was petrified of it, quite frankly. And there were a couple of those little gullies, as you mentioned, but it was the equivalent to maybe 4 or 5 steps. So if you can handle it, it's a great introduction to skiing. And it's a great way to spend a couple of hours outdoors. Basically pretty flat. It was interesting for me to notice there were a lot of really elderly senior citizens on the trails, which was great for me, actually. It was less intimidating. So it's a good introduction, and of course the guides will show you exactly how to put those boots on, take them off, how to stop, how to get up when you fall, which is a very important lesson. You can actually take a lesson, in fact. Otherwise, you can just slip them on, and it's sort of walk through the woods for an hour or two. It's really a lot of fun. I quite liked it.
Sounds interesting. Why don't you hold the line with us for a few minutes after our break?
Okay.
We'll continue for a little while after the 11:15 break. Just want to let everyone know that they're more than one reason to get away to other parts of Quebec. Fares are never been lower with Air Montreal, where you could go to Val d'Or, Rouen, Quebec City, Bagotville, Ile de la Madeleine, Mont-Joli. Call today, fly tomorrow with just-in-time travel. No need to reserve 14 days in advance. No need to stay a Saturday night. Every seat on every flight is consistently 50% less than other carriers on the same route. You leave from Air Montreal's own terminal building on Ryan Avenue in Dorval, where parking is free and no airport improvement fee to pay. Give Air Montreal a call, 631-2111 or www.airmontreal.com.
Chad, let's roll it.
AM 600. Travel World will continue. Stay listening.
CIQC Montreal.
Thinking of renovating your kitchen? Call me, Monsieur Renov. I've been renovating kitchens for over 25 years. I'll come to your home, I'll ask questions, I'll answer questions. We'll discuss budgets, and together we'll come up with the kitchen of your dreams. There is nothing that Monsieur Renov cannot do. We love what we do, and it shows in every kitchen and renovation we create. Call today.
Monsieur Renov. 274-1159. 274-1159.
Chad the engineer.
Oh, hi, Chad. We'd love to show you around. Come on down. We have a place that's great. I know just where to take you.
Don't forget your best friends when you go on vacation. Call Langille Kennels in Dorval today, 631-8704. West Islanders have trusted Langilles with their pets since 1970. With an animal hospital right on the premises, pet owners can relax knowing that a veterinarian is not just on call, he's on site. And your pet will delight in Langille's choice of diets and experience care just like at home. Plus, each dog enjoys the freedom of his own indoor and outdoor run. Your pet deserves the very best. Langille's Country Setting Kennels in Dorval, 631-8704.
We're back with today's topic, men who love too much. Bob's on the line.
Hi, I love Saturday too much?
Well, that's not really...
I love the Saturday Gazette's I Love Saturday sweepstakes.
Love the Saturday...
Weekly prizes of expensive watches, trips south, plus a chance to win $25,000.
Bob, do you work at the Gazette?
You've really helped me.
Goodbye, Bob.
The I Love Saturday sweepstakes. You can win $25,000. Details in Saturday's Gazette. A rewarding read indeed.
While in Montreal, guests of Travel World stay at the luxurious Hotel Dufour, offering informal elegance and a vibrant sense of space in each guest room and suite, all the comforts of home and office, from beautifully styled custom-crafted furniture to kitchenette convenience. Enjoy panoramic views of the St. Lawrence and Mount Royal, then step outdoors to a multitude of shops and restaurants at your doorstep. Upscale service for the discriminating business or leisure traveler. Hotel Dufour, 1390 4th Street at St. Catherine. Telephone 938-8333.
Hi, this is Sandra Phillips from Smart Shopping Montreal. What do I do with all that money that I've saved? I like to go traveling. That's why I love Travel World with William Backus and Stephen Pickford, right here on AM 600 CIQC.
Talk Radio 600 CIQC.
I'm gonna dress up, gonna let my
Gonna make her howl, Chad? As Chad would say, the grandmother is listening. It's like that THS thing. Welcome back to Travel
Welcome
World.
Welcome back.
Vegas, Stephen Pickford online and Hands of Chad behind the console.
We were talking to Melanie Reffes before the break, and she stays with us on the line. We'll be continuing about talking about Mont Tremblant shortly, but special guest just calling in for a few minutes here from down in Atlanta, Bram Eisenthal, joins us as well now. You're down in Atlanta.
That's right, guys. I'm calling you live, or should I say dead, from the World Horror Convention. And I said poor or, I must stress.
Not the word that we like to use.
Sense of humor.
Right, we had to remember that there's two syllables in that word.
That's right. I haven't seen a lady of the night in the 3 days I've been here so far.
Hey, it's Natasha.
Yeah, well, you are. What exactly do they do at the World Horror Convention?
Well, you've got 250 delegates or guests. This is basically a literary convention, so some of the guests this year include Neil Gaiman and Ramsey Campbell, too, and John, as well as John Shirley, three of the hottest writers in the horror field. And you've got aficionados, a lot of them writers, editors, publishers, or just fans coming here to mingle, and there are workshops, and this afternoon there's a big auction, an art auction, art books, other things. It's fantastic. I mean, I'm a horror fan from way back. But this is a phenomenal place to make, you know, to basically meet these people. It's great. I'm sweating with enthusiasm.
Have you had a chance to get out and see some of the sights of Atlanta?
Well, yeah, I went to the Coca-Cola Museum and to CNN. Haven't had a lot of time to tour the city, but it seems quite nice so far. And there's this restaurant here called Dante's Down the Hatch, that where they've got live crocodiles. It's basically a fondue place that was
fondue.
Started a long time ago by this gentleman named Dante, who lives in a railway car. He's not
a
pop.
Inferno?
He actually is an old railway man who's made it really big with these two restaurants. And this place is amazing. They've got a 200-year-old boat where you sit on this boat and listen to live jazz music. The masts are 200 years old. It's pretty spectacular. So that's something I did last night. But all in all, this convention is great. And they have one coming up in July. If there are any fans of fantasy, science fiction, horror out there, 30,000 people attend this convention called Dragon Con. It takes place in Atlanta every year. It was in September last year, but this coming summer, it's in July. And I stress, you've got to come here for this. It's going to be something else.
Have you been confused by the fact that there must be like 47 streets called Peachtree something?
Yeah, I thought that was one big street. Isn't that like 100 miles long or something? I don't know.
Yeah, there's one street, but there's like Peachtree Place, Peachtree Northwest, Peachtree, and Peachtree Southeast, and they're not connected. No, that's one thing that people find in Atlanta, that everything is called Peachtree Street.
And I haven't seen a peach tree as hard as I've looked, so what's the story with that?
Well, they've already been all cut down for all the urban development in the area.
I think it's like the corn in Iowa.
Well, one of those things that, 100 years ago, Georgia peach, part of the folklore. But no, the Coca-Cola Museum can be recommended. They have at the Coca-Cola Museum where you can try every one of their products in a tasting room, and some of them are, I now know why they aren't sold here, because you know guava juice and different concoctions.
Oh, they had lychee soda. They have
lychee soda
all over the world, every from Japan to Israel to Australia. I mean, really, really weird flavors. There was one from Italy. It was a bitter, I think it's called, like, just bitter. And it's pretty bitter.
Oh, yeah.
I guess so.
You need to take something sweet afterward, just to take the taste out of your mouth. And, of course, right nearby is the Underground Atlanta restaurant and shopping complex.
Now, that's impressive, too, Underground Atlanta. I was quite blown away with that. It's kind of like, reminds me of Pier 39 in San Francisco. Very similar concept with lots of little stores and as you said, restaurants and attractions. It's kind of cool.
Fun place.
They do stress that you don't go there at night. It can be quite dangerous at night, so you go during the day. You know, it's funny, sundown was approaching, and I felt like I better rush back before the vampires come out, you know?
Yeah, you get that feeling in Atlanta, particularly downtown Atlanta. I stayed at the Hilton when I was there, and you knew that you had to get back to your room at night and stay in the hotel.
Well, that's before the vampires turn into bats, and as another one of our, what do you call it,
nebulous connections,
or as Melanie would call it, a segue, we have our very famous Natasha Kirkham, who is famous for writing about caves, is in the studio with us. Welcome, Natasha.
Good morning.
Now, getting down to Atlanta doesn't have to be expensive. I know, you know, Delta flies there nonstop, but you can get, you know, they make you stay that Saturday night. U.S. Airways, they have the USA on business fares that we always talk about here on Travel World. You can reserve up to 2 days in advance and stay just two nights and pay, you know, around $450 plus tax. So half price with U.S. Airways via Pittsburgh or Philadelphia as compared to...
Well, there's a story about that, by the way. I was supposed to fly, you know, U.S. Airways kindly... you know, made my bookings for me, and coming up here, the plane never showed up, so I had to take a Delta flight, but going back, I'm taking U.S. Air, hopefully the plane will show up this time.
Right, it just didn't get in because of probably snow or fog or something in Pittsburgh or Philadelphia. I mean, there are a lot of bad weather conditions out there today. Checking on the ADM website, admtl.com, this morning, a flight from Chicago on American was canceled. Flight from Detroit on Northwest was canceled. So the storm is coming from the Midwest. What are your plans for the rest of the day or the weekend down in Atlanta, Bram?
Well, this is a place that's chock full of seminars and speakers and readings from a lot of these writers. You know, they have things like mass autograph sessions where everybody here is a fan, and they just brought, you know, even other writers, they just brought books with them, and you stand in line and get your stuff signed. But this afternoon there are a lot of readings, and tonight there's a big fetish ball at midnight.
Oh, the fetish ball at midnight.
Fetish ball.
Now I know why you went.
Yeah, guys, I brought my leather. I mean, I'm sorry it's not a TV show, because I'm sure a lot of your listeners would love to see me dressed up in my leather, but last night they had a vampire ball.
A vampire.
I mean, this is like serious stuff. For, you know, I think U.S. Air, the plane didn't show because they were just intimidated about coming here for that.
Yeah, having to take a 119 vampires or a Dracula wannabes down there to Atlanta. Well, we'll let you get back to your convention. Nice talking to you.
Great talking to you too.
This morning, Bram, and wish you all the best, and hope you have a safe flight home tomorrow.
Well, thank you, and keep in mind, just everybody, one more time, Dragon Con coming up in July. You can always contact me through you if you want more information on the fest, on the convention.
Sounds good to me.
All right.
Anybody wants to contact Bram, send us a line here at travelworld@reporters.net on the internet, or you can call us during the day at 626-3132.
And we'll continue now with Melanie Reffes, just finishing up about Mont Tremblant. And did you get to do anything other than cross-country skiing there, or are you just... relaxing and vegetating and...
Well, it's certainly not as scary as Atlanta, as Bram just told us. And if Bram's still listening, by the way, or the rest of our audience, there's a store in the underground Atlanta that sells hot sauces from around the world. I totally recommend it. It's a great place for little souvenirs. And, yeah, you can be a little scared in Tremblant if you've never been on the skis before, but I certainly recommend anybody trying. You know, if you live in Quebec, you got to put those skis on at least once in your life. At least say you've done it. The thing with Tremblant is it's a very small, contained little village, and so, you know, where you're staying becomes really important, because if it's cold outside, you want to be able to go back to the hotel and sort of chill out if there's a nice bar or cafe in the hotel. And, of course, at the CP Hotel, it's right situated, right in the middle of it, so you can walk in and out 100 times a day and sort of feel like you have a base, which is really fun. You know, I was going to tell you guys, I've been, of course, in a lot of hotels over the years, and this one was so great because my camera broke and the concierge fixed it. You always hear those stories about concierges being able to do everything, but this guy actually fixed my camera. So I think I saved about $80 on that repair bill just by going over and telling him my camera doesn't work. And he said, just leave it with me for a few minutes. So the service in there is great. You really feel like you're sort of a special client, which is nice.
Well, it's good to know that there's some places out there that still give you good service. And of course, when I was there in the summertime, just while they were building the Chateau Mont Tremblant, there are a lot of things to do in Tremblant in the spring and summer. Some of them, they have golf nearby, they have tennis courts.
Oh, there's tons of stuff. In fact, Stephen, I was going to, I just jotted a few dates down for anybody thinking of going up there. In three weeks from now, on the 27th and 28th, is the R&B Music Festival, which is really, really great. It's only R&B music bands come from all over the place, and it's piped everywhere. It's a lot of fun. And on April 4th and 5th is the World Beat Music Festival, where they bring them in literally from all around the world. There's some great Haitian bands. bands and African bands, and that's also a lot of fun. And as you mentioned, golf is a big ticket item up in Tremblant, and on June 3rd is their big 60th anniversary golf tournament. So any of you golfers out there interested in golf, this is a time to book it. It's going to be crowded, and the courses are huge and beautiful. So it's definitely, you know, changes with the seasons, but there's everything up there. You can rock climb in the spring, and there's bike trails. In fact, the cross-country skiing trails seem to me to also be bike trails because they had little pictures of bikes, which I guess were more relevant when there's no snow there. There's tennis courts and pedal boats and fishing and everything to do up there. It's really a whole lot of diversity.
And I have a couple of numbers to give out here. For general information on the Tremblant area, you can call 1-877-TREMBLANT. And, of course, to make reservations and find out about packages and availability at Canadian Pacific's Chateau Mont-Tremblant, their number is 1-800-441-1414. Well, sounds like you had a great time up there, Melanie, and thanks for joining us this morning.
It's a great weekend getaway, and always great to be on Travel World with you guys.
Oh, pleasure to have you.
Have a great rest of the weekend.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
And that brings us to our commercial break. We got to talk about our new sponsor, Reboot Computer Stores, out in Pointe Claire. That's a little store that cares. You know, there was a time when you used to go to your little corner store because they would care, you know, for whatever you would need. And, you know, in this day and age of faceless, impersonal, super discounters, it's kind of nice to know that there's still a store out there that really does care about you, that they care about your business. Reboot Computer Store, Donegany, near Sources and the 20, the computer store that cares. They have new and used, even some hard-to-find parts, and check out their bargain bin. They have great stuff at good prices, and back everything with personal caring service. Reboot, Donegany, near Sources and the 20, 428-1919. That's 428-1919. Chad, roll it.
Travel.
Nothing like a little taste of the islands to make you feel warm. Now, doesn't that make you feel warm?
You guys are bad.
AM600 Montreal.
It's carnival time, and Pointe Claire Chrysler Jeep is slashing prices to celebrate. Great lease deals on fabulous vehicles, like a 99 Plymouth Neon 4-door automatic with air, only $209 a month plus tax. Or a 99 Voyager 15th Anniversary Special Edition V6 engine power windows and doors, just $274 a month plus tax. Or how about a cool Plymouth Breeze 4-door sedan with air, only $259 a month plus tax. All 36-month lease deals at Pointe Claire Chrysler Jeep, 335 Brunswick facing Fairview. So why pay more elsewhere?
Take a one-hour vacation and soothe your body at Luxocor, mesotherapy at its finest. Enjoy a professional, therapeutic, Swedish, Californian, or stress-healing massage in a warm, inviting, upscale atmosphere given by a caring staff for whom your total comfort and well-being are of the utmost concern. Luxocor, 374-8181, open 7 days a week from 10 to 10 by appointment only. Your body deserves a break. Relax and enjoy at Luxocor today, 374-8181. Melt your cares away with Luxocor, 374-8181.
We're back with today's topic, men who love too much. Bob's on the line.
Hi, I love Saturday too much.
Well, that's not really...
I love the Saturday Gazette's I Love Saturday sweepstakes.
Love the Saturday...
Weekly prizes of expensive watches, trip self, plus a chance to win $25,000.
Bob, do you work at the Gazette?
You've really helped me.
Goodbye, Bob.
The I Love Saturday sweepstakes. You can win $25,000. Details in Saturday's Gazette. A rewarding read indeed.
Via Rail is proud to be the official ground transportation carrier for Travel World's media correspondents. Business taking you to Toronto but tired of battling traffic on the 401, the confusion of Pearson Airport and high airfares? Next time, arrive refreshed and relaxed. Pamper yourself with Via One first-class service from downtown to downtown. A hot meal served at your seat, full stretch-out comfort that allows you to spend productive work time, not lose time en route. Via One, the way Montreal-Toronto travel was meant to be, from Via Rail, Canada's passenger train network.
Hi, this is Cynthia Fodor from KCCI-TV in Des Moines, Iowa. Happy to be back on the air in Montreal again with Stephen Pickford and Travel World on AM 600 CIQC.
CIQC.
And up on the flats and down
Welcome back to Travel World. Willem Backus, Stephen Pickford, the hens of Chad behind the console, special guest Natasha Kirkham in studio with us, which I got to thank you for doing our show when we went to Biloxi. Natasha, you did a great job.
Thank you very much.
So we have a special guest online with us, Carol Mickelson, who wrote a book about camping through Europe.
Right, Camping Your Way Through Europe, and she joins us now on the line from California. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, why, I mean, I looked at the book and I said, why, what would interest somebody in going to camp through Europe? What would be the main point to do it?
Well, several things. First of all, it's extremely affordable. I just got back from Eastern Europe, including Croatia and the Dalmatian coast. And the car, the food, the gas, the campgrounds, the museums, so forth, in other words, just about everything except getting there cost us about $50 every 3 days.
So it only cost you around $17,
$18
per day.
For two people.
Holy macaroni.
Well, that's one very good reason to do it. It makes Europe certainly affordable.
Yes, it's definitely affordable. And the other thing is that most middle-class Europeans, this is how they vacation. And I have been camping in Europe for 22 years. And finally, I thought, you know, and I never meet, I hardly ever meet Americans, even now. And I thought, so I wrote the book as sort of a mission. And then I produced a video so that people could see that it was very easy, it was very safe, and very affordable. And then the other really nice thing about it is that you are traveling with the locals, and you are part of the country and the air and the birds, and it's just a whole different thing than being in a hotel and closing the door. You're just there, you're out there, you're sharing the bathrooms together, you're in the they're located close to historic areas. They're generally, they have them in the mountains and at the seashore and at the lakes too, but you can camp right outside the historic area. And usually the site is fabulous. I mean, if you were paying for a hotel room at that very site, it would be very expensive. And so then there's often bus service right from the campground. So even though nowadays I often drive, we drive the car to the city and park right outside the historic area. And I also take my bike, my touring bike, and a bike rack. And then we just take the bike off the car and throw the bike rack in the car and lock the car, and we're off tooling away on our little touring bike in Rome or Florence or Paris or whatever it is, and we're great. Well, actually, in Paris, I wouldn't take the bike because I would use the metro, and taking the bike would be too much of a hassle.
Yeah, in a city that has good public transit, taking a bike in the traffic... Mm-hmm. Might be a disconcerting.
But actually,
to people.
In Eastern Europe, for instance, there was good parking for tourists all over, very close to the historic areas, and not and very easy to find, and secure and attended, and not that expensive. In other words, they really want you to come.
Yeah, the Eastern European countries who are really only getting on the tourism bandwagon over the past decade have learned from some of the mistakes of other destinations.
Yeah, exactly. They're having to redo these cities that were devastated, and they're doing it with a lot of savvy, and they want to do it right, and it's really wonderful.
You avoid
it's
all
a wonderful
that whole,
way to go.
You avoid that whole tourist thing when you do that too, because you know we think about traveling to Europe, we stick to the cities, and you go to this hotel, that hotel, rent this car, do that
right.
Train thing.
Then you're lugging the baggage around all the time too.
Let me ask you.
Getting it up the stairs in the hotel, and then sleeping in a bed that might be old. Actually, the equipment is very good nowadays, and it takes us about 10 minutes to set up.
How do you bring your things? I mean, when I go camping, of course, I'm not Mr. Roughing It, so we haul a little trailer going down to Plattsburgh or something like that. So
right.
What do you do with your equipment? How do you bring that over?
Well, it all fits into four duffels with room to spare, actually.
Tents.
And basically it's a tent and not one of those great huge things where you stand up in it. And then it's inflatable mattresses that are, they have very good ones now. I mean, I'm as comfortable on that mattress as I am on my bed at home. And then I've made homemade pillow cases for those mattresses with just a twin bedded sheet. I just sew some seams. And then that way I'm sleeping on a sheet. And then I make another one, a body sheet. And then I don't take a sleeping bag because sometimes it, you don't need a sleeping bag and it's too hot. And so then my bed is really like my bed at home. And then, you know, you bring a tarp for outside the tent and the collapsible chairs, you know, those ones that you sit on the ground and you sit on this little chair that folds up. It's actually two inflatable, not inflatable, but two sponge kind of things that have a strap. Anyway, they're great and they're inexpensive. And we take those along and use them for picnics and so forth, too. But I'm a professional chef, and so I teach people how to cook because food to me is very important on the trip, but it also can be very expensive.
How do you work in such conditions?
Pardon me?
How do you work in such conditions if you're a professional chef?
Oh, it's very easy. And in my video, I have quite a lengthy cooking lesson in there. But I Jacques Pepin is an old friend of mine, and he... has taught me a lot, and now I'm cooking in a campground instead of a restaurant. But you shop in the markets, the open-air markets, and it's just wonderful to buy the food from these wonderful farmers, and you have this communication, and besides that, the food is so gorgeous and so inexpensive. And then you take it back to the campground, and they almost always have communal areas with tables. And I take my little camp stove down there, and I take a little tablecloth, and I cover it up. I mean, cover the table, so I have this nice, clean little area. And I just start chopping and cooking and chatting. Pretty soon you're chatting with everybody else who's cooking, and you're talking about how your day was, and... it's a wonderful feeling.
Now,
and if you feel like having some company, I usually, maybe if I see somebody there that maybe I'd like to get to know a little bit better, then, you know, I invite them for dinner. Just cook a few more, a little extra.
You say that this is an excellent way for single travelers to meet other singles.
Yeah, it actually is. It's a wonderful way because the campgrounds have singles in them. The people that are going to be in the campgrounds are going to be families and couples and retired people and singles. And because I am a good chef, I mean, actually, I draw a lot of attention to what I'm cooking. I'm just quietly cooking away.
So we'll follow you around. We'll follow the crowd who's huddled up behind you and wait for you to toss scraps our way.
Yeah.
Could you find anything palatable to eat in Belgium? I know that when Steve and I took a trip down to Belgium, I think, man, now I know why you got to bring a sandwich.
I also use the Coleman. Coleman came out with a dual fuel stove. So I take that with me now. You don't need to buy a stove that fits into their type of gas for each country. And I literally put this on the airplane with me. It costs about $50 to $60, and then I use gas from the gas station, and use that because there were times when I couldn't find the gas fuel, propane or the little camping gas. So now this is real easy.
Kara, let me ask you something else. You're mm-hmm. talking about traveling here in very small tents and whatnot. Now, if you have a family, let's say you have smaller children in the range mm-hmm. of, I don't know, 3 to 7, that kind of thing. And how would you do that? I mean, privacy.
Oh, taking the kids is great.
Oh, yeah? Separate tent?
Yeah.
Or what
and
would you do?
Oh, yeah, campgrounds, there are a lot of children in campgrounds, and they almost every campground has a playground.
Yeah, okay, but when they're sleeping and whatnot, how would you do
oh,
that?
Oh, well, you just buy a tent that accommodates them.
That accommodates them.
Like either a larger size tent or two.
You feel safer with your little kids right there.
Oh, sure, but what
if
would...
If they were older, if they were teenagers, then, you know, they might want to have their own little tent.
As far away as possible. No.
But these tents fold up into practically nothing.
Sure.
Now, I also have bought a... it's like a sunshade, and it pops up and very, it also folds up very easily and assembles easily. But if I'm going to be in a country where I think I might have some rain or too much sun, then I take this along and I can stand under it. And so when it's raining and so forth, we can still sit underneath this and have protection and read and so forth. And so that's just been an extra little luxury.
Right, it gives you that little bit of extra comfort.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In Brazil, I've traveled. I've been to Brazil several times camping, and that was handy.
What about if those of us who are not quite so hard-wearing and we wanted to rent some gear, do you just have places or suggestions for, say, renting a camper or something like that?
Renting a camper? Yeah, that's very popular. And some countries, particularly Germany, it's a good place to rent them. And if I am going to camp in an area where I think it's going to be colder, then it's worth it to get a small, like, converted van. But you will pay more for gas, and you will pay more for the vehicle.
Right.
Gas is real expensive in Europe.
Yeah, on this last trip, because we were staying more than 3 weeks, a mid-sized car only cost us $18 a day.
Yeah, well, a mid-sized car for Europe is about the size of a little Geo Metro here.
No, this was a Volkswagen station wagon.
Yeah, well,
brand new.
Really?
$18 a day.
How big?
And you divide that in half, that's $9 per person.
Yeah, the longer you rent it. Carol, why don't you stay on the line with us? We'll continue after our 11:45 break. Just want to let our listeners in on what we're doing in 2 weeks' time. 2 weeks today, we'll be down in Jupiter, Florida, attending Expo's spring training. We'll be staying at the Hilton Palm Beach Airport, which is a resort-style hotel located on scenic Lake Cloud, only 1 mile from Palm Beach International Airport, 20 minutes away from spring training at Roger Dean Stadium in Jupiter, 3 miles from the beach. They operate on the philosophy that an airport hotel can feel much like a resort rather than simply being a convenient location. They have on-property water ski lessons, sand volleyball court, 2 lit tennis courts, an oversized swimming pool, and you're within minutes from, as I say, the beach and trendy Clematis Street, Worth Avenue, all the activities which have made Palm Beach County a great location. 1-800-HILTONS, the number to call. And we'll be driving around Palm Beach County in our BMW 323i convertible, one of the many luxury and prestige vehicles from Prestigia Palm Beach Auto Rental. While in the Palm Beaches, why not rent a little Prestige? Make a better holiday for yourself. You don't have to pay a lot because Prestigia Palm Beach offers lowest rates in the county when it comes to renting one of these luxury Prestige vehicles. One number, 1-888-313-7672. Tom Vrastiak is the president, and he's been a longtime resident of Palm Beach County. He'll be glad to help you out with the type of vehicle you need and give you suggestions on places to visit, places to dine, all of that. So Prestige of Palm Beach Auto Rental, Prestige Vehicles in Palm Beach County, 1-888-313-7672.
And don't worry, Chad, he's reserved his Barracuda for you to drive. Yeah, now Chad's smiling.
Yeah, well, they have a Plymouth Prowler convertible with Chad Kennemy's name on it, reserved in the lot.
Mopar power, huh, Chad? Anyway, let's roll the break.
Now you're talking.
AM 600 Montreal.
Before heading off on your next trip, head off to Jet Setter. Jet Setter is Montreal's travel accessory center with the largest selection of travel accessories in Eastern Canada. Everything that you could possibly want relating to travel, all in one location. Money belts, water purifiers, miniature binoculars, travel irons, guidebooks, and maps. Plus converters and adapters for all your electrical needs, including computers. What's more, you'll find every imaginable kind of rolling luggage, including duffel bags, knapsacks, and travel packs from such name brands as Tumi, Travel Pro, Skyway, Loosport Sack, Kipling, Timberland, Eagle Creek, Briggs & Riley, and more. At Jet Setter, I found you don't pay more for quality and personal service. In fact, you'll save with Jet Setter, and GST is included in every price you see. Jet Setter, Montreal's Travel Accessory Center, 66 Laurier West between Clark and Cedar Van. Telephone 271-5058.
We're back with today's topic, Men Who Love Too Much. Bob's on the line.
Hi. I love Saturday too much.
Well, that's not really...
I love the Saturday Gazette's... I love Saturday sweepstakes.
Love the Saturday...
Weekly prizes of expensive watches, trip self, plus a chance to win $25,000.
Bob, do you work at the Gazette?
You've really helped me.
Goodbye, Bob.
The I Love Saturday Sweepstakes. You can win $25,000. Details in Saturday's Gazette. A rewarding read indeed.
Are you tired of being held hostage to the airline's demands to stay over a Saturday night and reserve 2 weeks in advance just to get a reasonable airfare? Fed up with paying $1,000 or more on your business trips to the United States? Now there's an answer to every business traveler's dream with Zagory Travel's USA on Business fares to over 50 key business centers throughout America. Reserve up to 3 days in advance, stay just 2 days, not requiring a Saturday, and count the savings. $395 plus taxes to Los Angeles, for instance, compared to over $2,000 plus taxes normally applicable without that obtrusive Saturday night stayover. You don't sacrifice comfort or convenience either, flying with one of America's top five fly carriers with full in-flight service, seat selection, and frequent flyer mileage. Call a corporate travel specialist at Zagory Travel in Dollard today, 626-3132, to find out how you can shave your travel budget by up to 75%. Your next business trip to the USA should begin with a call to Zagory, 626-3132.
This is Sharon Delaney at WKMG Channel 6 in Orlando, Florida. Keep listening for my exclusive Florida reports on Travel World with Stephen Pickford on CIQC.
CIQC.
Nothing like a little lover boy on a Saturday. It's Will and Backus, Stephen Pickford, the hands of chat behind the console, and the lovely Natasha Kirkham in studio with us. We're talking to Carol about her book, Camping Through Europe. Carol Mixon telling us, we were talking about renting a camper and stuff like that, because there are those who really aren't into the tent thing.
Uh-huh.
But there are those who like campers.
The camping, and most of them will, the good one to get would be just a converted van, because otherwise it's too big of a vehicle to take on the Autostrada. It's going to cost more on tolls and more for gas, and it's going to be harder to get into the campground. So you want to keep as small as possible.
Like one of those little Volkswagen campers.
Yeah. Well, they're may not be Volkswagen, but they're readily available, something like that.
Something that size.
Pardon me?
Something that size, and you want a van.
Then you can get around on the roads easily, and a lot of the streets, I mean, are smaller and more narrow than what we're used to here in America.
A van is actually a very good way to camp out, because actually many ladies who I've talked to who've been in Chad's van can tell me that it's a great place to camp out. I digress.
Now, there are places in Europe that you say there are five places you shouldn't go for vacation, no matter how beautiful they are, and I'm curious to know, what are they?
Well, I'm hesitant at this point to go into Albania, Romania, and Bosnia.
Right, Zagreb.
But people are beginning to camp in Russia. And we talked to Dutch campers while we were in Poland that had just come from Russia, and they had a wonderful time. But Asia, they don't camp, so you can't go there.
True.
But Brazil is a good camping place, actually, because the country is so inundated with immigrants who brought their campgrounds from Europe to Brazil, and they're very similar to the ones you find in Europe. So really, you look to see if they have enough campgrounds for you to use, you know, on your trip.
Right, you have to see that they have the infrastructure for that, and if their culture, you know, basically accepts it. Otherwise, they think it's a group of gypsies going around the countryside.
I don't feel very safe camping outside a campground, to tell you the truth. Now, some people do, but I don't.
Yeah, some people don't appreciate it in their front lawns.
Property if pulling in and just parking in my yard.
Mm-hmm. Parking lot.
Yeah.
Church.
I like to be in a campground.
Yeah.
You get that
extra fun.
Yeah, and you have the fun with the local people. You also have that sense of security. This is a safe endeavor to do.
Right. But most countries have hundreds and thousands of campgrounds.
What was your favorite place in Europe to camp?
Oh, right where I'm camping today. I mean, people ask me that question all the time, and I can truly tell you that where I'm camped that very day at that time seems to be my favorite place.
But it's
the campgrounds are fabulous everywhere, so it would be very difficult for me to pick out my favorite place.
If somebody would like to try this for the first time, though, where would you send them? Like, where would you recommend them going for the first time so they have, like, the best memory they could of the place?
Well, it just depends on what they want to see. I think that has a lot more to do with the camping itself. If they want to go to a mountainous area, if there's a particular culture they like, if they're geographically, what area are they interested in? It's going to be easy anywhere now. I just returned from Turkey, and we camped very easily on the Black Sea, way into eastern Turkey, because the Turks love to camp. After all, they're nomads. And so there were lots of campgrounds in Turkey, and I particularly like to camp where the locals are camping. So, the campgrounds are definitely there in the areas where there are a lot of tourists.
Now, what about the home country, man? How about the Netherlands?
Oh, the Netherlands are fabulous.
Well, where?
And there's campgrounds everywhere.
Well,
and
we're in Holland,
flat,
say, close to Amsterdam.
Is great.
Mm-hmm.
So there are places close to Amsterdam or Utrecht and the...
all over. There are campgrounds close to Amsterdam, but it's kind of fun to stay out by the beach. And Haarlem is a beautiful area.
Did you get a chance to go to the seacoast, Scheveningen, Den Haag, places like that?
Oh, I've been to seacoasts all over. I love seacoasts.
There you go. How about Crimea? Have you been to Crimea?
No, I have not been to the Crimea. There's not a lot of camping there yet.
Hasn't really developed into something yet.
Yeah, and when you think that you're going to drive so much, you really want to have another campground within a certain length of driving time.
Right, it has to be sort of, a day apart or whatever,
right,
or less, so that
yeah,
you know that you can plan an itinerary,
mm-hmm,
and find a place at the other end.
Yeah, but there's tons of camping on the Black Sea, on the Baltic, on the Adriatic, the Marmara, you name it. The campgrounds are there because people love to be at the beach all over the world.
Where can somebody get your book, Camping Your Way Through Europe?
It's at Barnes & Noble, and it might not be at there, and it's on Amazon, .com.
Okay, so it's fairly,
It's easy.
It's an easy book,
yeah,
to get. It gives you a good...
And the video, don't forget the video, because...
You get the accompanying video.
Yeah, it has an accompanying video. You buy it separately, but for somebody who's never done this, the little bit that the video costs will reassure them that this is okay. Because I cook in there, I set up the campground, I travel in the car, I take my bikes off the... you see the whole thing. I talk to locals when I don't speak the language. And I tried to cover every single problem that I had, and I tried to remember what was it like when I first started? What were my problems? And then you can just give it away to someone else, after you've...
It's a good reference source, and you can share it with family and friends,
yeah,
who might also want to get into the experience.
If you've seen it a couple of times, pass it on,
And by seeing it with their own eyes, they can see how easy it is,
yeah,
to set up, mm-hmm, the tent or take,
mm-hmm,
the bike. Yep, no, that's a good idea. Well, Carol,
yeah,
Mickelson...
In the video, the cooking lesson is pretty intense, but I wanted to show them all the different types of things they'll do. So, you wouldn't normally go to that much trouble, but it's kind of like taking a camp cooking class. And
it gives them the good overview.
A meal, you would only use a few of those techniques,
Oh, so sounds like a lot of fun. Carol Mickelson, who written Camping Your Way Through Europe, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
It's been a pleasure having you, and we'll recommend people to pick up your book if they're interested in camping in
great.
Europe.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Well, another week coming to an end here, and
mm-hmm,
next week's topic is something we should have probably learned 10 years ago. Nadine Davidson will be on, and she's written a book on how to travel with others without wanting to actually kill them by the time your trip has been over. So,
yeah,
if we'd read that, 1988, we might not have gone through some of our experiences. So
Laurie tells me
time.
Something about two of her friends who actually took a trip out to Gaspé in the car, and by the time they came back, it was lucky they both made it alive.
Oh, yes, I remember that story, and I think that... there's a little bit of those stories in everyone's life. How to travel with relatives, people from work, people you just met. We've done it all.
People and used we to can work relate. At Ward Air.
Yeah. Yeah, people who used to work at Ward Air, they're a bunch, right? One in particular. But no names here. We'll let you. Everyone out there who used to work at Ward Air wonder if you're going to be the one who's going to be ultimately revealed next week. That's next Saturday from 11 to noon for Travel World here on AM 600.
What's up next week, Steve?
Well, that's Nadine Davidson. You weren't listening. You haven't read your press kit.
Of course.
Davidson.
Not to get killed.
How do I?
Of course, I was listening.
Get along with other people when you're traveling. So.
Of course, yes. Anyway, listen. Next week we'll be back. Willem Back is Stephen Pickford,
Natasha Kirk,
and the Hands of Chad. Join us next week.
Mama, I'm coming home.
This is AM 600 in Montreal, information radio that's interactive. Our website is www.ciqc.com. You're listening to AM 600 in Montreal, Canada's first radio station.